We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Alex Gordon coming up at 8 o'clock. Royals outfielder will join us coming up at 8. Ben Maller of Fox Sports Radio. You can hear him overnights right here on 610 Sports Radio. Ben, what's your take on the NFL expanding its postseason?
Well, listen, guys, it's going to be obvious again. It's inevitable, right? I mean, this was eventually going to happen. The NFL has been trying to get more games and player games and all that. That's where the money is. And yeah, I'm not against it. I think I like the idea that only one team gets a bye. I think that's kind of cool. That means that these top teams are going to have to win. I mean, it's going to put more pressure on the Chiefs this, you know, if there is an NFL season this year, which we think there's going to be. But you know, you can't let off. You know, sometimes you figure, we already wrapped up at worst the number two seed, so we don't have to worry about it. But now you've got to play it all the way through. So I think that's a nice element to it. I think you should only give one buyout. So I like that they did that. And I look forward to it. Wild Card Weekend's a great weekend anyway. And now there's going to be more football on Wild Card Weekend. So how's that a bad thing?
You said if there's a season, the NFL also this week kind of saying we're going to play it as normal. We kind of saw it as an optimistic view amidst everybody kind of canceling and saying, you know, we're not sure what our season's going to be. How did you find that spin? Is it optimistic or is it maybe even defiant? We're going to play no matter what.
Yeah, I'm hopeful like you guys. And Josh, I look at what's going on every day. I watch the news for a couple minutes. I get freaked out, and then I go back and watch some old movie on TV. But I am actually optimistic. I people always get caught up no matter what the situation is. And they think whatever's going on right now is going to stay the same and it's not going to change that much. And, you know, the way I look at it, a couple months ago, we would have never in our wildest imagination thought that all these sporting events are going to be canceled. We'd all be stuck in our houses for the most part and not be able to really live the normal lives that we live. So, you know, you couldn't have predicted this several months ago. And that's people assume there's no end in sight, and right now it does not look like there's an end in sight, but I believe in the science community. I believe in the medical people. I know they're doing everything they can, and if they can find a treatment, I know they're trying a bunch of different stuff, then that changes everything. Either way, it's going to be at least until, I think, the minimum is July, if everything goes right in July. But yeah, I think there will be an NFL season. Now, whether they play all 16 games and all that, that's a different conversation and answer. But, yeah, I'm somewhat in the show because I'm usually negative. And this is one thing I've been positive about, and people are, like, upset that I'm not more negative about this.
Talking with Ben Maller here on 610 Sports Radio. A lot of folks that, you know, we talk to are all worried about crowning a champion in baseball. I mean, that seems to be the big thing. Crown a champion, play enough games to crown a champion. I feel like I don't care really how you crown a champion in baseball this year. I'm just ready for baseball to get back to start entertaining us. Does it matter to you how many games baseball plays, what baseball does, whether there's a real champion or not, or do you just want the games to get back?
No, I'm like you. I know you've been ranting on the radio for years, Bob, how there's too many games in baseball. They should play less games, and you're going to get your wish. I guess the report now is that the tentative plan for baseball is to have a 100-game season, and they would if everything goes okay, they could start in July. I think it'll make baseball more fun because, you know, in the past, you could take a bad month and it didn't really matter that much, but if you're only playing 100 games or even less than that, as some people say, they're only going to play 81 games, then, hey, you know, you really have to be sharp throughout the entire year. You cannot afford to have a bad month or you're not going to be able to make the playoffs. So I think it makes it more difficult because baseball has always been a sport which is about the marathon, not the sprint, and they can make it more of a sprint. I will tell you, it doesn't matter. If they don't play 162 games, whoever wins the World Series is going to be shamed. It reminds me of when, I think it was San Antonio, when the NBA played a shortened season because of a work stoppage, and they won the championship. And I remember Phil Jackson was coaching the Lakers, and he would razz the Spurs because they, you know, he put like a little mark next to it because they didn't play the full 82 games. So no matter what, people are going to rip the team that wins. But I think it'll be more interesting, and I'm looking forward to it. I hope it happens.
Baseball's a sport that's got enough marks next to names. What would be one more?
Yeah, exactly. Right? It's like people love to complain about stuff anyway. So, and then I've been following this Astros story, guys. It's not really a sports story. It's a lawsuit story. Every day there's new information coming out about the lawsuit against the Astros, and they are working overtime. Not only the Astros, but Major League Baseball, they are trying to cover up those notes. Rob Manfred talked about transparency and all this stuff when he announced the punishment, but they don't want their notes. It makes you wonder what they left on the table that they don't want us to see.
Ben, are you amazed as much as we are that after missing a three-week NCAA basketball tournament, every college sports program in America is claiming they're poor and they're broke and they don't know how they're going to make ends meet?
Well, yeah, that's predictable. I asked the question, guys, and I don't know the answer. I don't work in the insurance business, but all these sports leagues, the reason a lot of these games have been canceled is because they have insurance policies for this situation. Like, and I think they mostly use the same insurance company. You wonder if these insurance companies are going to be able to afford the hit that they're going to take on having to pay out all these claims. But yeah, I don't feel bad for the NCAA. I don't know anybody that feels bad for these NCAA schools. I mean, they've been living the life of Riley for how many years on the setup they have with the way they've used that student athlete term. And I don't feel bad for them. I feel bad for the people that are losing their jobs. I don't feel bad for those guys.
Yeah, it seems that suddenly without a three-week tournament, right, a three-week tournament, and without even having to pay for spring sports, all these departments are now crying poverty. I just don't quite understand their math. It seems to me they've done bad math over a lot of years. If they're in such a hardship place, they're like the rest of us, suddenly working paycheck to paycheck.
Yeah, yeah. Now you're going to find out exactly how the rest of us are living. And yeah, they're crying, but they're trying to get people to give money. This is not a good time to get people to give money to that. People are giving money to other things that are more important than a college basketball program and all that. And you think of how much money they're saving on travel, right? That's a big thing. All the other expenses that they're not writing up bills for because they don't have to worry about it right now.
And all these equestrian teams that don't have to get a horse on a plane and pay for that, you know, overweight baggage underneath a plane. They're saving money that way as well.
Exactly. How about the horses? We're saving the horses.
Ben, we appreciate the time as always. Stay safe out in California. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right, you too, guys. Thanks.
Somehow it always gets back to how do you get a horse on a plane.
That's exactly right. Always we'll get back to
always
that.
Yeah. Circle back to that at some point in time. Ben Maller of Fox Sports Radio joining us for his weekly visit. Coming up at 8, Alex Gordon will join us. Coming up, spring football could take on added significance. Next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
Back in Thursday edition of Fesco in the Morning, along with Bob Fesco, I'm Josh Klingler, Ryan Witkowski back at our studios today, and Alex Gordon coming up at 8 o'clock, 30 minutes away. We'll chat with the Royals outfielder, doing some good as usual in the community.
Yep.
And then we'll just catch up on what he's up to, how he's getting ready for this upcoming season and what was to be today, the home opener for the Royals and Mariners. We'll have the sim version of it later on our YouTube channel, right?
That's right.
And then tonight as well, you can actually tune in here on 610 Sports Radio. I know it's not the opening day game, but it's not a bad one. 610 Sports Radio will be airing classic games. Royals playback begins tonight, 7 o'clock, for the 2015 World Series Game 5 against the Mets in New York.
Classic games will air on Tuesday and Thursday nights at 7, Saturdays at 6, and Sundays at noon. The series will feature games from the 2015 World Series and some other games from over the past 10 years. Full schedule at 610sports.com. So there
you
go.
Do me a favor. World don't series. Spoil it. I don't know how it ends.
Game 5. That's right. That's right. So keep an eye out for that. College football. We're getting towards the fall sports and what exactly is going to happen with some of the fall sports. Not just professionally, but at the collegiate ranks. Brett McMurphy of Stadium was on yesterday with Cody and Gold and says some of the alternatives are out there if college football can't begin as normal in the fall.
If the season gets delayed, can't start, it's scheduled at the end of August and it gets pushed back. You know, if the season starts in October, November, then they play over two semesters. You know, finish the season in March. Hey, we get a football version of March Madness. Other people have suggested, you know, we could do conference-only schedules, which obviously would not impact the Power Five schools as much as the Group of Five schools or certainly the independents. What happens to Notre Dame in that scenario if you wipe the non-conference schedule clean? And others have said, look, if student-athletes can't get back on campus in the fall, and I really think, I pray I'm wrong, I really think that the universities by August will not be allowed to all of a sudden say, hey, you know what, all 30, 40, 50,000 students from all over the world, it's safe to come back to campus and take your courses here on campus. So because of that, if you don't have student-athletes, if you don't have a student body on campus, how are you going to have student-athletes? So if that happens, some people have suggested moving college football to the spring. So, yes, we could have the Rose Bowl and the Sugar Bowl hosting the semifinals. And then the next week, the national title game in Miami, those could be played around Memorial Day.
That's an interesting
end
take,
of
yeah.
May.
End
could
of
you imagine
May
that?
For that.
But
yeah.
if school's not open, you ain't playing sports.
Yeah, I didn't even really think about that
right?
part of the thing. Yeah, if schools aren't open and people aren't going to class and you don't have a student body, how are
you're
you going to play football?
You're
yeah.
not playing football.
You're not going to play football.
If it's
yeah.
set up like it is now, which is campuses are closed and you're doing a bunch of online stuff, and if that resumes in the fall, you're not playing football.
No, you're not. You're absolutely
you're
not.
Playing volleyball.
No,
you're not playing
anything.
Soccer. You're not
you may
doing
not
any
even
of those
play
things.
Those winter sports. You may not even have men's basketball or women's basketball. I mean, that stuff starts in October.
And
you
then,
know?
And then, yeah, say they resume with the second semester.
Right.
You might be playing every sport at the same time and trying to do that. You may have an overlapping college basketball and college football season.
Right.
In the in early 2021.
Yeah.
That logistically, wow, what a mess. But I think Brett McMurphy hits on something, which is if the campuses aren't ready to bring in students all physically on campus, there's not going to be any football.
No, there's not going to be any football, and there's not going to be any kind of fall sports. And then, like you said, it spills over to the wintertime, and then you start talking about basketball being delayed. And, again, that's the big moneymaker for the NCAA to have that basketball tournament, you know, at the end of the year. And so I think everything is up in the air right now. When you look at the possibility of the NFL, when you look at the possibility of college football, I mean, when you look at the possibility of any sport at this point in time, you have to think everything is up in the air. Everything is being considered right now, and nothing can be looked at as a bad idea. Like that spring idea, I kind of like that spring idea. If we have to get to that point where we're going to delay the college football season, why don't we just delay it till we can play an entire college football season and do that in the springtime? And maybe you're playing games in January this year in the snow, and you know the weather gets better in college football this year instead of getting worse for college football this year. And by the end of the season, you're playing these bowl games in these great locations that have great weather anyway, you know?
Yeah, games in May. It wouldn't be as bad weather-wise. It'd certainly be different to start the season, though, because we typically in college football, you don't get that really bad weather.
Right.
Playing, you know, through Thanksgiving, and then everybody goes to warm other locations for the bowl games.
Sure.
It'd be a little more like the NFL, where you might have to deal with some elements.
Yeah, absolutely.
At that portion of the season. But I'm just thinking of the schedule. The schedules that imagine if a university had to plan for men's and women's basketball, football, volleyball, any other fall sport that went at the same. They just did everything in the
in the second semester.
Yeah, everything in the spring.
Wow.
It'd be crazy. It'd be a lot of fun. It'd be a lot going on. There'd be a ton to talk about. There'd be a lot of activities for people to do. And if that's the way you can do it and that's the way it's safe for everybody, then that's the way you have to think about doing business, I think, in college athletics now.
And they'd all get their money by then, so maybe they'd all be happy.
Yeah.
And not pleading poverty. We talked about Iowa State kind of slashing some salaries to accommodate lost revenue in college sports. UCF has taken it a step further with their athletic director, former NFL quarterback Danny White.
Yeah, he wants government relief for college athletics right now. And I think at that point in time, that's when we've crossed the line. There are people losing their lives in this country. There are people losing jobs in this country. There are people losing their livelihoods in this country right now that the government needs to help out. There isn't a way that the government should be helping college athletics. And I think this coronavirus time that we're living in right now is a good time for college athletics to figure their stuff out, Josh, and figure out where they really are in the grand scheme of things. We've literally missed 1 3-week basketball tournament, and these athletic departments are acting like the world has ended and they have no money and they can't do anything and they can't go on. How about figuring it out? Why are we paying athletic directors $2+ million per year? Why are we paying people in athletic departments $500,000 or more per year? You have to get those salaries corrected. You have to get that stuff in place. You have to figure out that kind of stuff and stop wasting money on, you know, exorbitant meals and private jets and all of this stuff that athletic departments are wasting money right now. Stop running up those big expense accounts. And I think college sports right now, you've been getting free labor for basically a century, and one missed basketball tournament has sent them all into a tailspin. It's kind of karma right now for college basketball, or not college basketball, but college sports. You've been really taking advantage of student athletes for all this time, and now it's coming back to bite you. You've got free labor and you can't still make ends meet. It's time to reevaluate how you do business in college basketball.
The only thing I find unfortunate is, I mean, for a long time I've said, you know, football and basketball drive the train.
Yeah.
And those other sports, it's nice that they have them. And I think it provides a lot of opportunities, and I think it is indeed beneficial, but they're being footed, the bills being footed by football and basketball.
Absolutely.
The bad part of this is what, you know, what's going to happen.
They're going to cut sports.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're going to cut all the non-revenue sports that provide opportunities for extra opportunities for kids to go to college or to play a sport in college, and all the benefits that tie into those things. Those are going to be the first ones to get whacked.
Oh, sure. Yeah, your tracks and fields, your baseballs, yeah, your softballs, your swimmings, your, you know, equestrians, your things at the rowing teams. You know, you're right, Josh. Places that provide opportunities for kids.
Instead of finding a way to trim.
Right.
And still do those things, the first thing they're going to do is they're going to cut a bunch of sports.
Right, that's exactly right.
Because
it's easier that way, because God forbid an athletic director should, you know, make less than $3 million a year or whatever.
Or a football coach makes
six or seven or whatever. $6 or $7 million per year.
Basketball coach or whatever. It's not going to be good. And I understand, if there's no college football season, it will be devastating for
sure.
UCFs and for a lot of schools,
yeah,
that really rely on football paying the bills.
Yeah.
That maybe they don't have a basketball program that generates what their football pays a lot of bills on a lot of college campuses. I get it. And a lot of sports and those types of things. I still wouldn't be in favor of a government bailout.
Oh, God,
to help them out.
No,
I'm like, hey man, if your finances are where they are, you've had TV money.
Right.
You've had all kinds of opportunities. Maybe you need to look in the mirror a little bit.
Yeah, and figure out ways to trim the fat and trim the excess that you're spending right now in these departments. Because I'm sure if you looked at the books and you saw some of the expenses that these athletic departments had, you'd be like, really? We're spending money on this? Why do you need to spend that kind of money on that kind of service when you can do something totally different and save a boatload of cash?
You can slim down charters.
Right.
You can and again, some of these things affect – I know firsthand, there's too much food.
Yeah.
the don't have enough to eat, oh my goodness, I'll take you on one road trip. I should just add up the calories that happened on some of these things. I mean, there are ways to not make it a completely a bad thing for those involved and trim some finances along the way. The most unfortunate part to me is I do have an appreciation for these other sports that don't pay the freight. And I think it provides opportunities for, and they've said it always, student athletes, right? you're providing opportunities for student athletes. They're going to cut. The first thing they're going to cut are going to be these minor sports.
No doubt.
And it's going to suck for them.
Yeah, it really is. It absolutely is. And you know, the
just
other
because
thing,
you couldn't manage all the football money you got
right.
at one point in time.
Right. But the other thing that they can do, Josh, is stop firing and paying out coaches' salaries for guys who are no longer working and stick with guys that you hired and gals that you hired, you know, in your organizations. The Omaha World Herald did a study, and they found out since 2005, colleges have paid more than $491 million in severance packages to coaches that they let go. And that doesn't include the money that you're paying the new coach to replace the person that you sent out the door.
In 15 years, they've spent $500 million on buyouts.
On buyouts.
You think that's fiscal responsibility?
And Kansas is a top five program in that kind of money right now. That they're a top five program in all of college athletics for buying out coaches and athletic directors and paying people to basically go away. Sometimes, you know what, you may not like the coach and the job that they're doing right now, but you got to stick with them because you're not only paying somebody then to go away, then you're paying somebody new on top of that. And since 2005, you're talking about $500 million in money just to make people go away. That's ridiculous. That's the money right there that college athletics can't seem to get their head around. They just pay out contracts like it's nobody's business and going out of style.
Yeah, we talk about bad contracts all the time in professional sports. There's a lot of bad contracts that have happened in the college ranks.
No doubt.
Alex Gordon coming up at 8. Matchups, matchups, matchups next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
Royals outfielder Alex Gordon coming up in 15 minutes. He'll join us here on 610 Sports Radio. Not quite the if the season ended today scenario, Bob, but pretty doggone close. Now it's if the season were simulated today, then the playoffs were happen.
That's right.
And now we have expanded playoffs in the NFL. Where would we be? Boy, that's taking a leap. But anyway, I love it. Now an extra team in the postseason. If we looked at last year's postseason for the Chiefs under this scenario, they would have had to play an extra game.
That's right. They would have played Pittsburgh.
They would have played the Steelers on wild card weekend. They would not have had a bye as the 2 seed. So now the goal is get the 1 seed.
That's right.
The 1 seed's super important now. Get the 1 seed and have a bye. But the way too early look at the postseason was done by CBS Sports. And it did have the Chiefs as a 2 seed, which meant they were going to play on opening week.
Yeah, it did. It had them as a 2 seed, had the Baltimore Ravens as the 1 seed going into next season in the postseason. But what I really didn't like about the matchup that they had the Indianapolis Colts as the 7 seed. And you know, I've been saying all along since the offseason started in the NFL, the Colts are the team that have really done a nice job. I think they've had one
they've
of the best offseasons. They really have
it's
scared
not,
me. Yes.
This, would this be a 10-6? If your 6-10 was your downer pick, would this be 10-6
yeah,
or
this,
better?
Yeah, this is a 10-6. Probably take the over at 10-6 right now for the Indianapolis Colts. I think they're going to be a really good football team this year, and a team that scares me and has really geared themselves up to beat the Chiefs. Obviously, with DeForest Buckner being acquired, you know, in the middle there to get to the quarterback and going out and getting Phillip Rivers. I think it's the best free agent quarterback signing of the NFL this year because he knows the system and where we are right now in this league where you're not going to have the off-season programs. You're going to need a quarterback that is familiar with the system, and Phillip Rivers is clearly familiar with that system, so the learning curve isn't going to be that big for him in Indianapolis. I just love what they did, and I think they did a lot of this to try to beat the Chiefs, and I look at them as that 7 seed. They beat the Chiefs last year in Kansas City with Jacoby Brissett as their quarterback with no DeForest Buckner on their team. They found a way to beat the Chiefs here in Kansas City, and so I saw that, you know, potential matchup that CBS created yesterday, you know, in this, and I went, oh, I don't like that
already?
At all. I don't like the Indianapolis Colts as the 7 seed in all of this. The interesting thing was they didn't have the New England Patriots making the postseason this year. Coming out of the AFC East, they had the Buffalo Bills as the number 3 seed in the AFC playoffs. But, man, I just did not like that 7 seed matchup for the Chiefs at all on wild card weekend. The Colts, that's the nemesis of the Chiefs.
You're sweating a matchup already on April 2nd.
I am, yeah.
Although I just don't like a matchup, period. I mean, I think the biggest negative of the – I think the expanded playoffs have a lot of value, and it does supersede any complaints I have for it. But the one complaint would be, playing an extra game. I think it would have been really tough for the Chiefs this year to have the run they did playing an extra game. They were they were a bit banged up heading into the postseason. That bye was super beneficial for this Chiefs team. And to think now you're not going to have it, you're going to have to play one more game, you have to grind through maybe a team that quote-unquote snuck their way in. You know, it'll be a 7 seed, right? So you're like, okay, is this one of the – is this a team that belonged in or not? You'll be having that debate, right?
Right.
But just playing that extra game and the toll it's going to take, I think that's the one negative of this. And really, if the Chiefs weren't in this position, I wouldn't have a complaint at all. It's just that, you know, you're battling for the 1 and 2 seed, hopefully every year.
Right.
And that was a reward before, and it's no longer going to be a reward, which is tough.
Yeah, it really is. It's a tough pill to swallow in that aspect.
So any matchup, I would be sweating at this point. Because playing an extra game, I think, is going to be a factor.
And then when they add the 17th game in, you're essentially playing 2 extra games than what you had to play. So it is going to be a lot more taxing, but it does give the regular season more importance overall of the NFL. If we're talking big picture here, not just, you know, the Chiefs or your particular team, you're talking overall NFL, it really is good for the overall NFL because it keeps more teams engaged, more fan bases engaged, more TVs on. People are interested more so in, you know, in the playoffs because you're adding an extra team in right now, giving everybody that sense of hope that we all need at this point in time, that your team has a chance to win the championship. And so I like the fact that the NFL did it, but man, that's 7 versus 2. I just don't like that at all, man. Like, if they had another team in there, I probably wouldn't think twice about it, but I've been so in love with what the Indianapolis Colts have done over the last couple of weeks, and I think they've done a nice job of trying to gear themselves up to beat the Chiefs.
Yeah, if there was one matchup that was going to freak you out, it'd be this one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if it was
New England.
Even a Buffalo, you're like,
Buffalo, it's still Buffalo, right? Yeah, but I really believe in Chris Ballard. I believe in Frank Reich. You know, I think Phillip Rivers still is a pretty good quarterback in that system. I just like everything that they've done. I think that is a sleeping giant right now in the AFC, I think, the Indianapolis Colts.
And while you've had some dominance against Rivers, he has beaten you.
Has beaten you, yeah. Know? He's one of the guys that has had a little bit of success in the West.
He's got some familiarity with you as a Chief. They beefed up their defensive line, as you mentioned, was one of their priorities in the offseason, trying to get some work done up front. So they've done some nice things in this offseason. But that's the one team this year that would freak you out. I saw this too, I'm like, uh-oh, this is the one matchup where you're going to sweat it because you've been on the Colts train.
And not just that, but past history as well. Save the game where we saged Arrowhead and they beat the Indianapolis Colts. Seems like 9 times out of 10, the Indianapolis Colts have the number for the Kansas City Chiefs.
And fast forwarding to that date, I might be a little more freaked out by the Colts. You know, giving it time, I would still have those Colts trepidations, but I feel like they might have gotten over it.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe they have. But Colts beat them this year.
I feel like they've gotten the playoff over it, the saging, everything, the winning that game. I feel like, okay, the tide has turned where they're the ones catching us now as opposed to, you know, always sweating them.
But the Colts beat us this year. This year at Arrowhead with Jacoby Brissett. I hate that matchup for the Chiefs.
Yeah, regular season game. Yeah. Who cares about regular season games? Oh, wait, they matter even more now?
Now they matter even more. Yeah.
You don't have a seat. If you were looking to deliver a message to the people, I think the coronavirus messages that are going out from everybody have been largely productive. You find what sticks in each particular spot. I don't know if you caught the mayor of Chicago her goofy video, I thought was really, really well done. We played the Larry David from California yesterday, which I thought was really fantastic. I don't know if this one hits, but it probably hits with his fan base. The number one person to deliver like a message of stay indoor, be safe, all these things, necessarily to me wouldn't be Bill Belichick. But he doesn't disappoint. He goes full Belichick in this PSA for keeping yourself safe in the COVID times.
Hello, this is Bill Belichick. I want to reach out to you in these uncertain and unprecedented times to let you know that I and the New England Patriots are behind you. We are all in this together.
Oh my goodness. Nice reading, Bill.
Yeah.
He continues.
Thank you to our heroic medical professionals, doctors, nurses, medical workers, and others who are selflessly and courageously doing their job to take care of others in need. We have heard your stories and seen some of your great work. You are truly champions and warriors. We are facing a difficult opponent. It will take teamwork, discipline, and commitment to do the right things all the time.
That includes staying at home. I encourage everyone to shelter in place for as long as necessary as we fight this virus together. There are plenty of things we cannot do right now, but let's focus on what we can do. We can adapt, we can adjust, and we can make better decisions right now for the betterment of the future. As I tell our team, let's keep stringing good days together, and we will get through this.
This message paid for by Bill Belichick.
Right.
The message is fine. Like, the messaging of it is fine, but there's no one there at New England that can check him and go, all right, could you do it one more time with a little bit of emotion?
Right, yeah. Show some enthusiasm in this.
I mean, I wish he'd just said, I'm on to coronavirus.
Yeah.
And been done with it. Oh, my goodness. It's just so Belichickian.
Well, but he's right. Teamwork, discipline, and commitment is what
yes,
it's going
the
to take to end
of
this.
It
the
is message fine. Is fan.
I thought the message was fantastic. Him sitting there in his jeans with his tucked-in shirt doing this thing, wherever he was doing it from, you know, doesn't necessarily
we
resonate.
We appreciate all of your hard work.
But I think a lot of football fans need to hear this message, though, from Bill Belichick and everybody else in the NFL that's putting out these messages. We need to let football fans know, hey, if we don't follow the orders here, there may not be a football season. And I think
that there
are
plenty of things we cannot do right now. But let's focus on what we can do.
I'm out here looking for loopholes. I don't know what the rest of you
yeah,
are doing.
And that's what Bill Belichick is doing.
Yeah,
he's looking
exactly.
for loopholes
there
in everything,
some things
right?
We can't do. We're going to focus on the things we can
well,
do.
Well, I did find out.
I will
that if,
find
know,
the loophole,
yeah,
folks.
Belichick will find the loophole.
Is that
all
really
this.
Why the Pats went to China to spy on coronavirus?
That's what it was. The Pats jet went to China to pick up the masks. They were probably over there spying on corona to figure out
you
a
know,
way to try to
one
end
of the,
this thing.
One of the first things I learned about broadcasting is that you have to speak with a smile. It actually makes a big difference,
it
right?
It makes a huge difference, yes.
Bill Belichick, I don't know if he's ever, like, maybe he lacks the muscle response in his face to be able to do it. I feel like I've seen him smile a couple of times. He was in that magazine with his wife, like, on a, you know, like on a flower hillside, you know, in, like, a
right.
sweater and stuff. I saw him smile there, so I know he's capable of it. Just someone needs to tell him, hey, Bill, slap a quick smile on and then read this minute-long thing, and let's see if it makes a difference.
Yeah, exactly. Put a smile on your face, my man. But teamwork, discipline, and commitment are the things that we all need to be fought. We're all a team in this, man. We all got to do our jobs. We all have to do what's best for our fellow man, and we all have to take one for the team right now. And if that means right, staying inside and not stay. Running around the neighborhood and doing
guys,
what you're not supposed to do,
don't
let's do it. Let's do it. And do it so we can
stay
get back
inside,
to living normal
wash
lives.
Wash your hands, and it'll be on to football.
That's right.
Royals outfielder Alex Gordon drops by next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.